So we continue in worship. We read upon a scripture, Matthew 6:19-21. Let me get there myself. I'm in 2 Kings. Hold on. Back. All right, here we go. Short scripture. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I always like to start off stewardship campaigns by saying I'm no financial expert. I enjoy looking at what that looks like, but I'm not a financial expert. But throughout the next few weeks, a lot of what financial experts look at make a lot of sense to me and make a difference in our lives of how we are able to spend and give and save. I think the goal of these next few weeks on stewardship is to create a consciousness about how we spend, save, and give. It's a step of putting our lives in order to be joyous, happy, and generous, no matter where we might find ourselves financially. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, had a saying that we are to gain all we can, save all we can, and give all we can. I think the American dream does a really good job of gaining, influencing us to gain as much as we can. But instead of saving and giving, it also influences us to spend as much as we can as well. I heard a mother who saw her 2-year-old boy swallow a nickel, and she immediately ran over to him and picked him up and turned him upside down and started patching his back as fast as she could. And all of a sudden, well, the boy coughed up 2 quarters. And so she was like panicking a little bit, and she yelled for her husband who came running and said, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, he swallowed a nickel and I hit him and he coughed up 2 quarters. What should I do?" And he said, "Keep feeding him nickels." Keep feeding him nickels. You know, there's a real danger about money and material possessions, and I know that people don't like hearing preaching about money, and if I preached as much as the Bible talked about money, well, that would be every other week throughout the whole year, because did you know that of the Lord's 38-39 parables, 11 of them, almost a third of them, talk about money possessions. Did you know that money in the Bible is talked about more than any other scripture except for the kingdom of God? We all have stuff. Our homes are filled with them, with it. Our homes can't contain our stuff any longer, so we put stuff in the attic, and we'll get it out throughout the year as we need it. And then if we don't have enough room in our attic, well, then we put them in storage containers, storage places that we put our stuff in. And 9 times out of 10, we don't ever go back and use that stuff for years upon years, and then we realize that we don't need that stuff anymore, and we don't want to pay for the storage container anymore. So instead of taking the time to go down and deal with the stuff that's in the storage container, well, we don't do that. And so then storage wars come into play, and people can go bid on our stuff that we don't need any longer. The Bible nowhere condemns well-earned, well-deserved financial prosperity. It's no crime to be wealthy. And Jesus is not condemning stuff either. But most of us need the things that fill our homes. Couches and chairs and dressers and appliances and personal history. Pictures on the wall. Memories that we've had over the years. But in all this, Jesus is pointing us to even a greater purpose for our lives, more than the things that consume our house. In Luke 12, 13 through 21, we read a parable of a rich man, and we see a farmer who's produced so well that he cannot contain his crop. And he thought to himself, well, what shall I do? How should I store my crops? And he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater barns. So there I will store my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink. His actions were directed towards himself. Not once do you hear about others. Not once do you hear about God's blessing. It's all I, myself, me. More than 11 times in eight verses. His problem is that he's filled with covetousness. He lives for earthly things. Things that fill his life and his soul. In his abundance, he thinks that he has a space problem, but Jesus points out that he really has a soul problem. In his mind, the action required is not sharing of his abundance, but the building of new barns. I've been with many people in the last days of their life. In Harlingen, in my 4 years, I led 60 funerals. I've been with many people in the hospital. In those moments, those last moments on earth, all the times that I've had the opportunity to be with folks, they talk about their family. They talk about trips they've taken. They've talked about their favorite scriptures or hymns or stories. I can't ever recall a moment in which they've talked about the things they've acquired on earth. It reminds me that when we die, we're not taking anything with us. And yet, for the majority of our time on earth, we spend accumulating things. In the scripture, the rich man's problem is based on self-love that runs counter to the actions of God. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we see a God who continually looks towards others, pours himself out so that others might be filled. You know, when we seek possessions as the ultimate goal of our life, where moth and rust can take over, possessions turn around and possess us. There's an old fable about a fly and a strip of flypaper in which the fly lands on the flypaper that looks so appetizing to that fly, he decides, I'm going to claim this flypaper for myself. After chasing away all the other insects that threatened to share his find, he landed on the flypaper and happily announced, it's my flypaper. Then he proceeded to partake of the tasty feast that he found there, and when he tried to walk around, he found himself stuck. And then when he tried to fly away, he couldn't fly away, and he became completely exhausted, and he gave up, and then the flypaper proudly exclaimed, my fly. You see, when possessions become our highest priority, they possess us. While we were in Michigan last week, we like to explore bookstores to waste some time, to use some time. There was a book called The Wealth Money Can't Buy by Robin Sharma. And in that book, he lists 8 hidden habits to live your richest life. I just quickly glanced at the book. It caught my eye. And I'll probably purchase it and use it throughout our time. But quickly, the 8 things that he mentioned are growth, wellness, family, craft, money, community, adventure, and service. He mentioned money. And so I looked at the little small chapters under the title of that particular chapter, and the headings were, why do it if it doesn't make you happy? See another's winning as your victory. Be a highly humble leader, and greedy is not happy. Friends, I can give you good news as we start our stewardship series, and I cannot guarantee that we'll all be rich, but I can guarantee that if we put our money and our time in their proper perspective and place, that we live by the mantra that it's better to give than to receive, that God has blessed us with more than we could ever dream or imagine, we will all die rich. For generosity inspires generosity. And being truly generous is a call for each of us to be present as a human being and a member of society. God desires us to be people who give extravagantly, as he showed us as he gave his son for us. He wants us to be difference makers who make a lasting impact for years to come. As we were eating dinner, there was little things on these napkin containers. And a quote from George Alexiou, it said, success follows those who champion a cause greater than themselves. I think that's what it means to be a member of a community, a member of society, to champion a cause greater than ourselves, a cause in which rust and moths can't touch. May it be so for us as individuals and as a community of faith. Let us pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as a community of faith. And God, as we talk about stewardship and just the opportunity to make a difference so much greater than ourselves, may you open our hearts and our minds to dream about what that might look like for each one of us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for giving your son for us, that we might have freedom to live the life that you have called us to live, a life in which moth and rust can't touch. We thank you for your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.